Now, live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, the latest controversy surrounding Helen Darville Demidenko's book. We run a tape measure along her nose and give you the mail. Also, Madonna, could she be about to give birth to a Madonna Jr.? Let's just hope there's no graphic book of snaps to accompany it. We'll unveil our new hospital drama, check out the latest outrageous bank fees, and on Radio Gladiators, we'll be canvassing your suggestions for our upcoming vacation. All this plus special guest Judith Lucy on the program that future Prime Minister Ita Buttrose describes as splendid, superb and simply sensational, Martin Malloy.
Essay.
Welcoming you to Martin Malloy for a Thursday with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who upset Simon Gallagher at last night's opening of the Mikado in Melbourne by sending him a telegram reading, "You're not Nanky Poo, you'll never be Nanky Poo. Mine was the only true Nanky Poo. See you outside after the show, Mick Malloy."
Hard words, but someone had to say it, Tone.
Yes, damn it. Good on you. Now, I want to get straight into business today because there's just shonks everywhere in this country, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What is it with impersonating lawyers?
It's a trend, isn't it?
There's just a lot of it about another Australian has been found guilty of impersonating a lawyer, this time in Victoria. A bogus solicitor who falsified his law degree was yesterday convicted of perjury charges. The court heard that Bernie DeJonk, he's on the shonk, had obtained a number of postgraduate qualifications and had at one time lectured the police fraud squad. That's not a very good recommendation for them, is it?
Oh, no.
They can't even spot a fraud in their own office. Don't let them outside. Actually, I popped into the fraud squad this morning. They were being lectured about armed robbery by a bloke in a balaclava. Next week, they've got Helen Demidenko popping by to talk to them about creative writing. But she's another one. She's claimed to have had a law degree at one stage. Mm. There's that Sarah DeGrasso woman. What is this craze for impersonating lawyers? In my day, we pretend to be superheroes. Mum, can you make me a Batman cape? What is it now? Mum, can you make me a three-piece suit and a Filofax? Where's the fun in that? But this DeJonk bloke, he's been found guilty of five counts of perjury, but was acquitted of three counts of obtaining property by deception, because, of course, that's something different. That's impersonating a real estate agent, isn't
is it?
That?
Right.
But while we're in shonky waters, what about the latest on Helen Demidenko, whatever she's calling herself this week? The publishers of her award-winning Read, the hand that signed the paper, have frozen supply of the book following claims that part of it may have been plagiarised. This latest development has many asking just how dumb are these book award judges? Dumb enough to star in Dumb and Dumidenko, I'd say. But these latest allegations started with Demidenko's ex-boyfriend, who's also claiming she stole his moustache. If you've seen him on the telly, you'll know what I mean. But I've actually got a copy of the hand that signed the paper right here. It's great. The publishers have added a sticker now, soon to be a major embarrassment. And the cover's great. It's got author Helen Demidenko. That's crossed out. And it says Helen Darville. And now that's crossed out. And it says just your guess is as good as ours. But I'd like to read one of the allegedly plagiarised passages, if I may. It goes, "At last she reached the storekeeper. This man must have been some newly arrived stranger who could not or would not speak Ukrainian." Sounds like Helen Demidenko's dad, possibly. "He began to berate her. He said she was too lazy to work on the farm. She looked up, stared deep into his eyes and said, 'I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am.'" Well, Minds, don't you forget about me, the way that we've forgotten about everybody who was in the Breakfast Club. Haven't we? What, can you remember any of them?
Yeah,
who
I do.
It was,
Huey.
There was him.
And Louis. That's about it, really.
Oh, Gracie's holding up the cover. That's right. There was Emilio Estevez. He's kicked on.
Mm.
He's in kids' ice hockey movies now, isn't he?
And can't then, make enough. Molly Ringwald? Well.
Big in Europe.
Big in Europe.
I'm sure she is. The other bloke? Judd Nelson, he's straight to video, man, I think. Everything he does, straight to video. And then there's, who's the other? Anthony Michael Hall. He's sort of inflated, and he's become the new Gary Busey, from what I've seen. And
the other one, that other guy down there, he entered the police witness protection scheme, I think, about 3 years ago.
Oh, we have some real intellectual discussions on this program, don't we? That wasted a good 30 seconds, didn't it? Okay, well, let's get on with things, because a lot to get through today. Firstly, we've got to get some Father's Day gift suggestions happening, because it's getting very close to the weekend. A lot of people won't have actually nutted it out yet, and they're just going to, at the last minute, just go for the Old Spice. And I think we've got to get some good suggestions. We want you to fax your Father's Day suggestions to us, and the fax number here is 1-800-816-679. And think about it first. We don't just want a bit of paper coming out of the fax with socks written on it or three-pack of CDs. Oh, good, right, though, that would be. So, you know, think about it first and then fax us on 1-800-816-679. Now, Mick, something we haven't had on the show for a while is Madonna news. What's she up to?
Well, she's got a few tricks up her sleeve right now. Tone, American superstar, as she is, Madonna, and her boyfriend plan to have a surrogate mother, possibly a friend, carry their child.
All right. She's too busy?
Absolutely, yeah. She's got too much on the plate, it would seem. The pop singer's fertilised egg will be transplanted to the surrogate mother, who will carry the child till birth. Now, Tone, that's a big ask for one of your friends, isn't it? As favours go, that's a bit of a beauty. Because you got your standards, you got your can I have a lift, can you water the garden while I'm away? Do you mind taping Seinfeld? But will you carry my baby? That's a whopper. That'd require some thinking music, I'm fairly sure. Imagine that. You get a phone call and it's, hi, mate, Madonna here. Hey, couldn't do us a favour, could you? Could you mind my unborn baby while I go out and get pissed with the guys? How long? Oh, about 9 months. Oh, come on, I'll name it after you. Oh, right, fine. Look, that's how you're going to be. Just forget it. And don't bother asking me for a loan of my cone-shaped bra, because the answer's no. I mean, it's not the kind of thing you take lightly, is it?
No.
I mean, it's not uncommon for a career woman to get a babysitter, but I just think she's jumping the gun. You know, most people come home, ask the babysitter, oh, how has he behaved? And it's usually something like, oh, a bit restless, wouldn't sleep, wanted to watch telly. Madonna's going to come home, say, how was he? And the babysitter's going to go, oh, not bad, kicked me in the guts for 12 hours solid, but otherwise fine. Just like Madonna, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, she's the first to put her hand up for that fun, messy bit at the beginning. But as soon as the going gets tough, bye, call me when it's over. Can't wait to see the finished product. She'll be out there dancing with some basketball team at a late-night disco when she'll get a tap on the shoulder from a Medico type going, sorry to interrupt, Madonna, just thought I'd let you know you've gone into labour. Oh, great. How long is that going to take? Can you induce it? Can you pass on a message? Tell her to push. And if she starts getting all dramatic, let her know she hasn't got the only womb in town. But it's got people talking anyway. There's all the usual gossip and rumour mongering. Lots of stuff like, have you heard Madonna's having a baby? Really? Do they know who the father is? Bugger that. They don't know who the mother is.
Tonight on Ethical Hospital.
I'm going to remove the fetus. It's the only way.
Doctor, I will not be party to this immoral act.
Look, if we don't take the fetus out now, that little bastard's going to take his mother out with it. Now, I'm no goddamn Nostradamus, but I do know one thing. Either that fetus goes or I go.
What's your bedside manner, Doctor?
Sorry, Mrs. Jones.
Am I pregnant?
Yes. But not for long.
At Ethical Hospital, no one does anything without a thorough grilling from an earnest dickwit in a white coat.
There you go, Doctor. Would you like some milk in your coffee?
Well, normally I don't, but maybe I will,
And you, Doctor?
I will not be a party to this. Do you know what you're doing to yourselves, your reputation, the hospital's reputation? Do you think I'm going to stand by and watch while you deliberately contaminate a highly respected beverage with a dairy product?
Well, what's the old...
alternative. Ovaltine, Milo, we've tried hot toddies, and I don't need to remind you how that went down with the board.
You won't get away with this.
It's the only way.
Fine, but you're the one who's going to have to live with the consequences of these actions for the rest of your life.
You don't think I know that? You don't think I haven't thought about the dangers of exposing a lactose-rich substance to caffeine? Why don't you climb down out of your ivory tower for a minute, grab that spoon and start dishing out a few sugars? Oh, or is the hand a little shaky these days, Doctor?
You bastard.
On EH, someone's always getting steamed up about something, and usually it's for ethical reasons.
Hey, Doctor, you want a chip?
Yes, I will have one, thank you.
Eat that chip and you're on report, Doctor.
You don't have the right.
Do you know what a chip is? Have you ever taken time out to study a chip closely, Doctor?
No, I haven't, but I believe I know enough about snack foods to tell you with confidence that what I have in my hand is a chip, and what's more, I'd be willing to bet it's barbecue.
Oh, you're willing to bet, are you, Doctor? We're talking about a chip, damn it! Nobody does anything till I run some tests.
We don't have time.
What if it's cheese and onion?
Well, that's a risk I'm willing to take.
This goes against everything we've been taught. You're a gifted young surgeon, Doctor. I'd hate to see you fall now, because eat that chip, and that's what you do. Do you hear me? You don't have the right to play God.
Sometimes the rules were made to be broken.
Fine, but if that's salt and vinegar, remember, you're the one who's going to have the stingy lips.
EH, this Thursday night on the station that doesn't already have one of these ethical-type medical shows. Watch it. It's better than GP.
I won't be a party to that.
No, I've seen GP, and it's not very good.
That's not for you to decide.
Yes, but...
You're on report. I'm going straight to the board, and when I'm through with you, I think you'll find you've done your last voiceover. Yes, it
is. Mustang Sally, that's the Commitments here on Martin Malloy. And who's our guest today in the next hour, Mickey?
It's Judith Lucy.
Judith Lucy popping in again. And you know what she's been doing? She's been having tap lessons. She's got the proper tap shoes and all the gear. And because she lives in a block of flats, I understand the neighbours not too impressed.
That'd
been
be Betty.
Yeah.
Betty's had words, has she?
Betty from downstairs.
I look forward to hearing the latest from Betty.
Oh, she's taken Jude to court, I believe.
Really?
It's going to make for a very colourful and hopefully widely covered in the media case, the tap dancing thing.
One would hope so.
But we'll get the full details in the next hour. But, you know, Mick, there's been a lot of talk in the media lately about bank fees. Are there too many of them? Are the banks too greedy? Well, I brought in my bank statement from the last month here, just as an example, and listen to some of these deductions. You've got account servicing fee, $1.10. I suppose that's fair
enough.
You've got state tax, whatever that is. There always seems to be state tax on your bank account fee. Yeah, but anyway, that's $2.25. There's nominal fee. What does that mean? $2.70. It's just nominal.
Absolutely.
There's you'll never bother following this up, so we're just helping ourselves fee, $1.79. There's maintenance of pen chains, $5.70, because that's very important down at the bank there.
Crucial.
Production of incessant wanky commercials, $12.80. Friday night piss-up money, $4.20. Well, you know, they've got to have a bit of a drink at the end of a week at the bank, so you can understand that. More pen chains, $3.50. Funding for latest futile attempt to convince public we're tailoring banking to their needs, $6.25. Yep. And then here's the big one, next teller please signs, $58.90. They've invested heavily in those. Printing fee to add phrase have a nice day to bottom of all statements, $5.20. Have a nice day. So there you go. Just a typical bank statement right there. I think we've covered
There's
that.
There's the proof in the pudding, Tone.
Now, do you know if we've got any faxes yet on the Father's Day thing? That was a dud of an idea, wasn't it? That was just something I thought of off the top of my head. That's just going to blow up in our face, isn't
it? You're not overawed with the response? Or
Well, have we got anything yet, Gracie?
No.
See, unfortunately, the fax is in another building, so I'll have to take a cab and go and see if there's anything.
Hang on, there's a pigeon on the windowsill. Maybe that's bringing good tidings.
All right, we'll keep you up to date on that, but stick around, people. Coming up very soon, Radio Gladiators.
Programming Martin Malloy.
And I've just driven back from the fax machine, Mickey.
Have you? How'd you go?
Not bad. There's quite a few good ones coming out of it now. We're asking for Father's Day gift suggestions, and we're looking for ingenuity, and I think we've got it. From Darren Collinson of Ferntree Gully in Victoria. And he says, why not make a set of signs for Dad so that when he's watching the footy replay on Saturday night, he can hold them up and not have talk, therefore losing his train of thought on the vital outcome of the game. And the signs he suggested are, rack off, I'm watching the footy replay.
That's that'll good. Be used a fair bit.
Get me another tinny, please. I don't know, ask your mother.
That's better be on high rotation.
My favourite, that's nice, darling. Just hold that up from time to time. You know, we really are the clever country.
Yeah.
And no radio segment epitomises that more than this one.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, I don't know if we've mentioned this on the program this week, but we're actually going on holidays.
Hurrah!
Yes, at the end of this week, tomorrow's our last show for 2 weeks. We're off for a fortnight, and I think it's our first one on the show. So so we're looking for something special to do. We're looking for somewhere to go and activities. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for activities, holiday activities. So we want you to call us up with just stuff me and Mick can do while we're on our break. And once again, we're looking for clever country-style gear. We're not looking for go to the beach. You know, we want a bit more.
Watch the footy. Use your card.
Although that's probably what we'll be doing.
Absolutely.
But anyway, prizes. Have we mentioned the Sony Discman? It's worth about $400.
No, that's what it costs in the shop. What it's worth, you can't put a price on.
Okay,
so don't sit there and tell me what it's worth, because I know for a fact it's worth more than that.
Well, it is, considering the fact that it comes to us courtesy of 4 and 20 pies.
Oh, look.
Now, have I mentioned the...
I'd pay $400 for one of their pies.
Would you?
I would. I'd go through your pockets. I'd take all your money and buy a pie for $400 and still feel like I'd got a good deal.
I'd pay $400 for one, but you know what? I wouldn't want to eat it. And I hate to say this, and I'm sure the 4 and 20 people don't want me saying this, but I don't like eating their pies, because you get one and it's perfect. And you don't want to take... You wouldn't take a bite out of the Mona Lisa.
You wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't take a bite out of Citizen Kane.
No.
You wouldn't take a bite out of the Young Doctors, would you? You wouldn't take a bite out of a perfect work of art, and that's what your 4 and 20 is?
It is.
It's
one of the... Well, it's truly and considered one of the 8 wonders of the world. You've got your hanging gardens.
Don't list them, Mick. Don't list them. We ain't got time.
Yeah,
you've got them all.
You've got your 4 and 20 pie.
Yeah, I can sum it up in one phrase. It's a rhapsody in beef. That's what it is. And is it getting dark outside, Gracie? Call now with your holiday ideas for Mick and Tony's break now on 1-800-657-657. That's your Jan Arden with Insensitive here on Martin Malloy, and it's Radio Gladiators time. Mick and myself are on vacation at the end of this week, so we're looking for holiday tips and suggestions. Who have you got for us first, Mickey?
We've got the Troyster on the phone. G'day, Troy.
How you going?
Good, mate. All right, now what do you got in store for us?
I've got a really good holiday. If you go over to Mirror Atoll, you'll probably be able to sit back in your deck chair and catch a nice deep down suntan.
you'll be able to take
your metal detector along for a bit of excitement, look for any leftover bits and pieces, and maybe find out where the rest of them are.
And you'd need like your factor 700.
Yeah,
actually, we're going over anyway, aren't we, Mick? Aren't we part of Celebrities Against the Bomb? Aren't
Absolutely.
We in a boat? It's just me, you, Larry Emdur, I think...
Greg Evans.
Yeah. Maybe you could take along the deep 700 for them as well.
No, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll keep it all to ourselves, Troy.
Who's on that boat, Mickey? Kate Fisher would have to be in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a camera about.
And she's a life support system.
And, of course, Dieter Brummer would have to be along just to, you know...
He'll be too high, won't he?
I think so. Okay, that's not a bad suggestion, but I think we can go better than that, Mickey.
Yeah, I think Melissa's got a pretty sound suggestion. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Mick. And yourself?
I'm better than ever, but what have you got in store for us? I'm all ears.
Oh, well, it's the long drives. My family was big on the long drives.
Long drives? It doesn't matter where?
Nowhere in particular. Sometimes it was just looking at houses. My mother liked to look at houses.
Not through the... What, would you drive through the country or...?
No, we'd go down to those little housing estates and drive around looking at houses.
Mm.
It used to drive us insane, but it was worth waiting a semester for.
You weren't stalking anyone, were you?
No, well, actually, that was my next suggestion for a holiday activity. I mean, you've had failed celebrity stalking's always good.
Celebrity stalking.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically what you're telling us, me and Tony can spend our 2 weeks driving around, Thelma and Louise style, just... drinking in the atmosphere.
No, none of that. It's usually just spewing and whinging in the back, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, we can help you out there.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many people do call us up on the show and tell us to go for a long drive.
Exactly.
Now it's happened on air. That's good. Okay, who's next, Mickey?
We got Bill on the line. G'day, Bill.
How you going, mate?
Good, mate. Now, what do you reckon? What would you recommend as a bit of a holiday for the boys?
For the boys? Well, the idea, I reckon, is go up to Bonnie Doon, pick up one of those houseboats, take a bootload of grog, that's to get there, and then just wet a line. Don't put anything on it, because you might catch something that interrupts with drinking, I reckon.
Mm. You're speaking from experience, aren't you, sir?
Yes, yeah, I are. I'm not a sir, but I are speaking from experience.
Right.
And, yeah, the scenery changes every day. You get that country air you were talking about.
Yep.
And you don't get picked up by a breathalyzer looking at houses.
So you just cruise around Cape Fear style.
That's
the game. Just smashing into anything.
Yeah,
That's how it'd end up, wouldn't it? You know, it'd be the end of the 2 weeks. There'd be towing on the side of the river with me about to smash his head in with a rock with our houseboat sinking.
That'll do it.
Yeah, and, that's probably, that'd be a pretty good holiday.
It's good publicity for the show.
You'd be a TV week photographer on hand.
All right, next, have we got time for any more, Mick?
Yeah, let's go to Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. What do you got in mind?
Norfolk Island. I've got an itinerary for you. Well, first of all, you can play with the heifers and sunbake with them all day. You can bring along your balls and your chains, being a convict.
Yeah. The convict, yeah.
Yeah, you can pee under a pine tree because they're really big out there and they're good for some relief. And lastly, you can have a good old spanking on the convict nights.
Now you're talking turkey.
Now that adds a bit of a kinky dimension.
And doesn't Colleen McCulloch live there as well?
Yes.
So maybe you could get spanked by Colleen.
That's right.
Just under the pine tree.
I'd like to get spanked by Colleen McCulloch while I pee under the pine tree.
That's right.
There's your holiday. Thanks, Rebecca.
It's painting a fine mental picture.
Hello, Kathy.
Yeah.
Yes, what have you got in mind for us?
Well, you could go to Michael Jackson's home and you could stare at his face until you get an image like you would stare at a 425 pie and get a sexual image.
We would go, but I think we're a tad old.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maybe in younger years.
We'd have to have fake IDs. Going the other way, I think. To get into Neverland. Have we got time for just one more?
We do. We've got Faye on the line. G'day, Faye.
Hi.
How are you? Now, what do you reckon me and Tone should do on our break, our hard-earned break?
I reckon that you two should spend your time very wisely and go to a radio announcer's school, as I've never heard so much dribble on the radio.
I think we have a winner. You're joking, of course. I mean, really, you kind of like us.
No, I'm not. Listen, my girls listen to you every night, which means I have to listen to you guys, and it drives me crazy.
Listen to this, Faye. We've been to the radio announcing school, and we spent 2 weeks just in the corners with the triangular hats with a D written on them, standing there.
We're out the headmaster's office with the books down the pants.
Yeah, I believe it.
Okay, but I think that's our winner today, because I think that's a much-needed suggestion. You've got the Sonny Discman.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You can put that on and you can listen to a bit of Mozart or something. You won't have to put up with our drivel.
No, I won't tell you who I listen to.
Oh, okay. Silverchair?
No.
All right. Thanks for playing today, Faye. That's been another Radio Gladiators. Mick and myself are about to go and enrol, and we'll be back tomorrow. And stick around in the next hour. We'll be joined by Judith Lucy. Of bass, all that she wants here on Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. Time to welcome our guest, and it's somebody who doesn't mean to keep coming back to the show, but the promise of free 4 and 20 pies, you know, 3 packs of CDs and items of clothing emblazoned with the word Barnsley, keep it coming back for more. It's Judith Lucy. Welcome back, Jude.
Oh, you read me like a cheap magazine, Channy Man.
Now, speaking of cheap magazines, I know this about you, Judith. You're always out in the marketplace looking for Mr. Right. Now, do you go the option of the personal columns and that kind of stuff?
She just keeps coming back on our program, Tony.
Oh, look, I'm going to burst into tears in a moment. I'm feeling very vulnerable.
Save it for your big ending.
Well, I'm into a bit of everything. Yeah. But you see, I think I've been on the wrong track because I was reading an article today that came up with some great suggestions. They said, look, if you want to start talking to someone in the street, what you should do is you should use a prop or a share. Circumstance. And right. They suggested a dog, a sudden gust of wind, or a nearby car accident. Wouldn't that be a great way to pick somebody up? Hey, did you see that crash a couple of blocks down? What about that guy's leg jutting through the windscreen? What do you think that thing on the road was, a kidney? Anyway, can I have your phone number? It doesn't stop there.
It's a great opening gambit, though.
That's writing true. It down. It would get your attention.
Yeah.
But they also said, speaking of personals columns, they said, look, if you're a bit sick of advertising in personals columns, why not try a different approach? Why not try advertising on the side of a bus or a billboard? Now, I don't reckon that's desperate enough, actually. I'm going to have my face blown up and put on the side of a Zeppelin and underneath just my phone number with, please call if you've got a pulse, you are Mr. Right. And finally, their last suggestion, this is all completely serious, obituaries.
Oh.
They said obituaries are a great way to meet lonely, available men. And they did say now, you know, don't use an obituary from yesterday. Make sure you go back a year or two. But I say, bugger that. I say start hanging out in casualty at the hospital. And if you see some spunky guy whose wife's just carked it, you make sure you're the first chick there with a cup of tea and a box of cat. Assorted.
You'd probably already know him anyway from the car accident, so you'd already have an in.
Now, Judith, who was this written by? Anna Nicole Smith, by any chance?
It does sound like it could be her handiwork.
Okay, now we're going to go to a bit of a song. Can you stick around, Jude? I have to ask.
Oh, you know I never want to leave.
Because we want to talk to you. Well, I just want to ask you quickly before we go to the song, any updates on your neighbours? Because I know Betty downstairs, you know, we've talked about her at length on the program.
I haven't heard from her, which is actually making me a little nervous. I'm thinking that she's actually plotting away and that, you know, she's probably just going to come through the door Rambo style one night with a flamethrower.
Have you checked the obituaries? Maybe you ought to. Okay, Jude's brought a book in as always. We'll be back to open it up in the next segment here on Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy.
Judith Lucy's with us and as always, she's found some kind of book. What have you got for us, Jude, and where do you get them?
Well, you know, I've got my nose to the grindstone. It's actually not a book. It's actually a motivational tape.
All right.
Because, I've been feeling a little lazy. I've been feeling a little disillusioned. I thought, Lucy, get back on track. Mm. Buy yourself a copy of Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun. As it says on the back, discover the leadership principles of history's least beloved leader. What a great idea. Hey, Jack, how's your company going? Well, you know, you'd be amazed how I've gotten on top of the competition since I started burning their houses down and disemboweling their children. I mean, who wants the principles of history's least beloved leader?
John Howard, I think, possibly. He'd be queuing up.
Well, let's have Seduction Secrets of John Howard. That'd make about as much sense. But look, the guy who's written this, what's his name? Wes Roberts. He hasn't been idle because something he has written as well is Make It So, Captain Picard's Lessons for a New Generation of Leaders.
But hang on, isn't Captain Picard a fictional character?
Well, the point I was going to make was, like, if we're starting to use Attila the Hun and some bald guy from a science fiction series as role models, you know, I want to see I Hates That Rabbit, Yosemite Sam's Guide to Letting Go of Your Anger.
Leadership Secrets of Captain Pugwash, perhaps. I don't know.
But look, that's small fry compared to the other tape I picked up, which is called The Secret of Happiness
by
John Kehoe.
Mm.
And John's great because John talks about the big picture.
Mm.
He says things like, maybe feeling the wind on your face is more important than success. Maybe a brilliant red flower is what it's all about. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'll be pretty jacked off if a brilliant red flower is what it's all about. I mean, I think I'd be pretty miffed if my lotto numbers came up and they said, well, look, we were going to give you $1 million, but now we've discovered what it's all about and we're giving you a tulip instead.
So those people who come in and badger you to death in restaurants with a like to buy a flower, sir, they've got the secret to
life. They're onto it.
They're the Yoda style figure we should be anointing.
You'll think twice before, you know, booting them in the pants and then throwing them out by their collar like you usually do, Mick Malloy.
I'll repent.
The secret of life. Yeah.
I repent.
But the secret is living every moment to the full. John talks about an experience he had. It's a lovely anecdote about how he woke up one night and realised that he was no longer thinking. Now, how he could realise that when he wasn't actually thinking, I'm not sure. But he goes on to say, instead of me staring at the stars, it just became me star. And it made me realise that I was a little further along the path of enlightenment than I realised, because, you know, after I have a few drinks, I too lose the ability to think. And instead of it being me staring at a bottle of wine, it just becomes me drink. Instead of me staring at a good-looking boy, it's pretty much just me root. And instead of me looking at a toilet, it's pretty much just me vomit. So I'm well on the way.
When's your motivational tape coming out, Judith?
This is what I'm looking forward to. That's going to change my life, I tell you.
Well, thanks for coming in today, Jude. You can go away now and lose the ability to think if you want. But we're not going to let you go without a demonstration of something we've been talking about on the show all week, and that's your newfound tap dancing skills. Do you want to take us out with a bit of a tap number?
Oh, if I could.
Okay, we've been talking to Judith Lucy here on Martin Malloy. Take it away, Jude!
Here I go!
Hi, Tony Martin here from Martin Malloy. You know, in the last couple of years, our lives have been changed and enriched by major advances in communications technology, such as the internet.
Wow, look, someone's compiled a list of all the phrases you can make by rearranging the letters in the name Captain Picard.
Pay TV.
Whoa, this is fantastic. The Dukes of Hazzard, commercial free.
And virtual shopping.
Great, now I can get stuck in a queue, treated rudely, impulse buy things I don't need and run myself into debt, all from the comfort of my own lounge room.
But now, Martin Malloy is proud to bring you the newest and most exciting innovation hot off the information superhighway.
3D Radio.
Here's how it works. Simply by using the balance button on your stereo or car radio, you can select which feature of the program you wish to enjoy. Here's a quick demo. If you'd like to hear a very funny joke about Pamela Anderson, turn your balance knob to the left. If you'd like to hear the new single by Michael Bolton, Can I Touch You There, turn it over to the right. Here we go.
Baywatch star Pamela Anderson has announced that when she dies, she will leave her body to medical science. The medical group named in her will say they hope to get a heart, kidneys, a liver, and a couple of throw pillows.
Oh dear, that was hilarious. And the joke wasn't bad either. 3D Radio. The listener a whole new world of choice. Stay tuned to Martin Malloy for further demonstrations of
3D Radio.
I think it's the lamest idea since $1 million lunch program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.